Welcome to the Search CRM Creating Customer Value podcast series. I'm Amanda Malgieri, assistant editor. In the December podcast, Don Peppers joins us to answer some of our readers' questions on customer trust. Listen in for tips on building and maintaining customer trust and winning over new customers.
One question is, what are some strategies we can use for building our customers' trust in our product? I've heard that customer testimonials are effective. Do you agree? Do you have any additional suggestions? Yes, I do agree that customer testimonials are effective in helping to build trust in a brand, but some types of testimonials are more effective than others. When you see a television commercial with real customers endorsing a product, that's one kind of persuasion. But if you hear from a friend who's a customer of the product, that's an entirely different and vastly more powerful kind of persuasion. Your word of mouth reputation among customers is by far your most valuable asset as a brand. We think trust boils down to two basic issues, intent and competence. In order for a customer to trust you, he or she has to first be confident that you have good intentions, that your intentions are good. That is, that your objective is to act in the customer's interest and to view things from the customer's perspective. If a customer thinks your actions are motivated solely by your own interest in a profit, he won't trust you. Charles Green wrote the book, The Trusted Advisor, and he maintains that a customer's willingness to trust your firm is inversely proportional to the amount of self-interest he perceives in you. The more self-interest he detects, the less trust he has. However, even if a customer thinks your intentions are good, that is, that you'll always try to act in the customer's own interest, even if he thinks your intentions are good, he will still only trust you if he also thinks you have the basic competence to act effectively on those good intentions. Even if I believe you have an open, kind, and customer-oriented philosophy for doing business, if I think you're prone to mistakes and operating problems, I'm not going to trust you to do the right thing, right? So, if you want to earn customer trust, then you need to focus your actions in both these areas, intent and competence. Now, improving your intent really boils down to upgrading your operating philosophy and trying to create a customer-centric culture or mindset at the firm. Some of the things you can do. Teach managers and rank-and-file employees alike that your goal as a business is not just to make a profit, but to make an honest profit by always giving a customer the product or service most in his interest, even if it's not the one that earns you the biggest profit. Be willing to forego the immediate profits that might be generated by selling a customer what you can persuade him to buy in order to sell him what is genuinely in his own interest. Treat the customer the way you'd like to be treated as a customer. Train your employees to solve problems and resolve issues by first asking, what's in the customer's interest in this situation? To improve your competence as an organization, then you need to embrace the right technologies and processes and skill sets for managing your business better. So, for instance, be sure your firm can remember what a customer tells you, whether that's at your website or on the phone or even at the point of purchase. Never, ever make a customer tell you the same thing twice. Also, once you've motivated your employees to want to make the right decisions, that is, acting in the customer's interest, be sure they have the right tools and information. Give them appropriate training and then get out of their way. A competent organization shouldn't have to engage in as many top-down activities, but should be able to rely on individual employees who act on their own initiative. Also, connect the dots in your company by dismantling product-based silos of information and authority. And change the compensation and reward structure to ensure that the drive for product sales never overshadows the drive for customer satisfaction. There's a whole lot more to this than I can cover here. Earning and keeping the trust of customers is a critical task, maybe the most critical task, on the way to long-term profitability. And figuring out how to accomplish this task is worth spending a lot of time on. As a first step, you need to get conversant with the issues You should definitely read our book, Rules to Break and Laws to Follow, which came out in 2008. We have a substantial amount of material in this book about the issue of earning customer trust, acting in the customer's interest, and even a chapter on recovering trust if you lose it due to some problem. We tried to put the whole idea of trust in the right context, thinking of it as a valuable business asset. But in addition to our book, I'd recommend you also read Stephen M. R. Covey's book, The Speed of Trust, that came out in 2007. It's a great primer on the subject and full of terrific examples. Next question. As a new consultancy, what can we do to build customer confidence in our services with no previous customers to vouch for us? Well, if your problem is that because you have no business history, you're worried that prospects won't trust you or won't believe you are competent enough to do business with, then one way to dispel that doubt is to provide references from the personal work histories of you and the other consultants at your businesses prior to starting this new business. It would help, of course, if one of your clients from this previous work history could also provide a reference. However, with or without such a reference, I think it's still possible to instill confidence in your capabilities with a thoughtful and deliberate set of initiatives that are based on exhibiting your expertise. My philosophy has always been based on the idea that even when prospecting for new customers, you should try to show goodwill and value so that prospects can visualize what it would be like to work with you as a customer. So, for instance, as a consultancy, you could author reports or white papers on relevant topics based on your reputation or your expertise, and tilt it to the problems or difficulties facing the prospect clients you're trying to solicit. You could conduct a survey or other research and make the findings available in advance to these prospects. You can also then publicize that in the news media and generate some publicity. You could host a seminar or a webinar and invite prospects to participate. Or you could devise an inexpensive one-day checkup or gap assessment or some other sort of evaluative service that would be attractive to prospective clients. Whatever you choose to do, the underlying philosophy should be that you are investing in your prospects so they can realize some kind of immediate value from your interest in their business. In other words, your prospects should benefit from your sales process itself. This will ensure that a good number of them will welcome your prospecting efforts rather than resisting them. And in addition, sooner or later, a few of these prospects may even feel guilty about receiving benefits without having paid any fees yet. This is a philosophy of doing business now, and not just a sales tactic for winning accounts. The philosophy is based on a very simple idea that in every client or prospect interaction, it is always the best course to be sure that the interaction itself has some intrinsic value to the prospect, whether or not they do business with you. Question. My company is looking to make some major changes to our product that we feel will open us up to a wider customer base. However, we're concerned with alienating our current loyal customer base. What can we do to retain the trust of our current customers during this transition? Well, it's always a wise choice to pay attention to the first rule of wing walking. Don't let go of what you're holding on to until you're holding on to something else. Your task is to make sure that you're holding on to your current customers and to reduce the risk, as far as possible, that they may defect when you try to change your offering to satisfy a different class of customers. So here's some suggestions. Be honest and upfront with your current customers and try to anticipate any problems or issues they may have during this product transition. Starting with your highest value, most loyal customers, solicit their advice on how best to make this transition and take their suggestions if you can. Offer a guarantee or a firm commitment to continue all services needed to support the previous product configuration. You can make this support commitment for the life of the product. But if you anticipate that this will become uneconomic at some point, then you should have some kind of cash-out provision for customers whose product lives exceed your support period. and, if appropriate, provide a serious economic incentive to customers using your current product to upgrade to the new one. This should be a genuine insider deal and not available to non-customers.
That's the end of this month's podcast. Thanks for listening. Make sure you join us next month for more customer strategy tips from Peppers and Rogers. Until then, I'm Amanda Malagiri for Search CRM.